and welcome to Room Escape Divas, Episode 5, a podcast about room escapes and people who are picky about them.
I have a review. I have a review. And I wrote it down. I finally found a new escape room. Could make me feel new. Could make me be blue. But then I was glad this chance that I had to write a review. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross, and maybe too soft, but that wouldn't do. For nothing else gives me a thrill. With all I've escaped, I love them still. I have a review, a scathing review. I wrote a review.
We are outside in my backyard on this beautiful day. It's a vacation day for us, Victoria Day. And of course, when that happens, there's all sorts of chainsaws.
Yeah, you're going to hear a buzzsaw or a chainsaw going,
yeah,
probably.
All sorts of, it's probably not a chainsaw. It's like, I'm not...
Table saw.
Table saw, there you go. I don't know much about things like construction. It's all like those twirly things that cut. Anyway, they're all going to be in the background. It's going to be difficult. I'm trying to talk, guys.
Twirly things that cut. I want you to do a home improvement show.
This is why we talk about room escapes and not... Yeah.
It's true. I wouldn't be able to do any of those, like, the do-it-yourself parts of room escapes, where you have to, like, hammer and stuff. Anyway, this episode is about being a reviewer. That's exciting.
Yay.
Why are you looking like you don't know anything about this, Mike? So we've all written reviews for escape rooms, and some people out there might think them to themselves, hey, I want to be a reviewer too. So this podcast is for reviewers and also for owners that
yep.
might want to listen in because they want to get mad at us.
Yeah, it's funny because escape rooms are still so new. You know, people are still getting used to the idea of even being reviewed in a more... I guess, professional fashion, like, apart from the TripAdvisor reviews that you see. Bloggers who actually, that's how Mike started, bloggers who intentionally go out to actually critique the rooms on a slightly deeper level, apart from, you know, this room sucks, don't go.
But that's pretty much how I started anyway. We played enough rooms and we said, you know, this room sucks, why would anyone go to it? But... over time, when we were invited by owners to come by and check out their place, we started to really try to take an objective look at each of the rooms and say, you know, what makes this room suck versus the rooms that we thought were good? And it, you know, it's funny. It's come up with other enthusiasts and boards saying, you know, how do you quantify that fun factor in a room? And it's still something that I think all reviewers or all bloggers are struggling with even to today, because everybody finds a different reason for a room being fun.
And then there's the sliding scale, because the more rooms you do, all of a sudden all the other rooms are put into perspective. And so then what do you do with all those reviews? Because now you've found a room that may have topped or may fit somewhere in the middle between two of your favorites. Mike and Ruby are wearing matching shirts. They're so cute.
Side note, by the way.
That has nothing to do with reviewing, but just to let you guys know because you can't see it.
So how did, like, Mike just explained how he came into reviewing. What about you, Earl? Maybe not. Maybe not, actually.
It's that rare moment where Earl doesn't say anything.
I'm trying to remember. I think we just... thought it'd be cool to start up a review site sort of thing.
Had you done much reviewing before this? Or was this kind of your first foray into it?
No, I'm I must have reviewed something before, but not really on a regular basis. Mm. So this might have been the one thing that I started doing on a regular basis. I used to be part of Escape Room Addict, but I'm no longer part of Escape Room Addict. And I don't really write reviews anymore. What I like to do, I actually just like to write rants. And so all of my, I only have two rants out there. And it's all on Mike's website on escapegamesreview.ca. And then I've written a few other reviews for, who are they? Escapers 4G. Sorry, guys. I do remember who you guys are. But for the most part, if it's a good review, I probably won't put it up because there are many other people who will say whether or not a room is great. But a lot of people don't liking the really bad reviews, but I like writing those. Those are a lot of fun for me. Maybe I'm a jerk. I don't know.
So for myself, I actually...
Oh, you reviewed games and stuff, too.
So I started reviewing...
Games.
No, that's not what I started reviewing.
People on Tinder.
But that's another story.
We also did reviews of, like, movies. We tried to do video stuff like that.
Yeah, we did a few of those. I actually started reviewing for theater.
I remember that.
I was a poor actor, and it was very expensive to go see theater. It still is expensive to go see theater. And so, reviewing, you just drank my drink.
Yeah. So, Michael, I'm sorry, you guys can't see this, but we all have drinks and alcohol because Michael brought Asian drinks. And there's this really cool lychee liqueur. And Amanda likes to make it strong. So mine wasn't as strong as hers. And so I drank it.
Mine's
and all of a sudden it's
strong.
Like, oh my goodness, it's like drinking straight vodka.
No, it's not.
How Amanda likes it.
Anyway. Reviewing theater was a very cheap way for me to see shows, or rather it was a free way for me to see shows. The way it would work is that we would get free tickets, we would have a review out by the next day, it was a lot of fun, I come from a theater background, and I took a course in criticism as well, and then I went on to games, video games, because I just couldn't stop talking about things I liked, and now I'm... I've sort of, like Errol, I don't review escape rooms as much anymore. I should really do that. But, like Errol, I used to be part of Escape Room Addict. That was where I wrote most of my reviews. And now, I think I've promised Mike a review or two and then just not written them yet. So, that's something I need to get on.
That's a good segue, though. Not the you not reviewing anymore, but the part about paying for rooms as a reviewer. We should talk about that. That's exciting.
That was one I was going to come to later, but we can talk about it now.
We'll talk about it now because it's probably a hot topic.
Okay, so this is on a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk on this on the Escape Room Enthusiast site.
Is there really?
Owners. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, the question just always seems to come up, which is...
I thought that's like, how do I make a waiver form?
Well, there's those too. or do black lights suck? And yes, they do most times.
Or cameras. What cameras is everybody using? Sorry.
Wow.
That's true.
Dripping that true. Sarcasm,
that,
Mike.
That does come up a lot.
Anyway, but yeah, it does seem to come up a lot, which is, should reviewers get free rooms? And there's debates on either side of the issue, with some good arguments on both sides. On the one hand, like, for myself, like I said, theater, we always got free tickets. Video games, books, music, they're often sent reviewer copies if they're well-known, well-known sites. That doesn't necessarily mean that's a good thing. Errol, I think you brought up IGN, for instance, who's, you know, pretty much universally known now as a rather corrupt gaming site who will write good reviews the better game you give them.
So you just put on air that they're a corrupt gaming site. Now they're going to come after us.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah.
No. I doubt it. I doubt they will come after. Anyway.
Her name is Amanda Whitney. She's not affiliated with this podcast.
Taking you down with me.
So you can go on why you think IGN is corrupt, though.
No. Oh, why IGN is corrupt?
Yeah, towards the mic.
Okay.
So Amanda Whitney.
Shut up! Well, IGN, is known as, like, you don't really trust their reviews, because basically the AAA titles pay them for good reviews. That's, those are the rumors that go around. You know, they, IGN says, or like the AAA gaming companies will be like, here is all of this free stuff, and the expectation is that you get a good review out of it. So IGN will rate almost any AAA title like 90%, even though people will play the game and they'll be like, I don't know, that was a 90, 75 or something. And so nobody really trusts sites like IGN.
Mm-hmm. However, if you review it badly, then you're not going to get free stuff from a company anymore.
Exactly, right. So that's their conundrum, is like they want to keep going as a site, and these high-profile gaming companies won't send them stuff unless they get good reviews. So that game, but video, so video game reviews, that's a whole other, you know, topic, because, but that's just an example. Then you have things like restaurants, and this is something I only heard about recently, where people who review restaurants actually don't ever, like, they make it a point not to receive anything for free, nor do they want their identities to be known, mm-hmm. even though if they're a famous food critic, obviously when they walk into the restaurant, people will know who they are, but they don't want any special treatment because they don't want, you know, they want an actual truthful, like,
experience
because it's a customer service related thing as well, right? And that makes sense to me because when I think about video games, you know, that's a product that you're getting, you're playing it in an isolated environment, and you're playing it alone most of the time, so you can be a little more objective. Whereas when you have people sitting right next to you watching you eat their food, then yes, you feel a little more, you know, you feel a little more obligated to be nicer to them, or like if they're...
And they would up the customer service.
They would.
Because they know who you are.
Exactly. So then you have escape rooms, and this is, like, this is, again, I can see where escape rooms come from, because there's a few factors where I would say that, crap, I lost my train of thought.
But customer service, if you ever see an opinion about what's really important about an escape room, customer service is up there. You just posted a tweet, Mike, about how important is customer service. And for everybody that responded, customer service is high. It's very important. In almost every review you read, a lot of people put down how good was their customer service.
Yeah, and the good, or the more, I guess, established escape rooms, the owners recognize this as well. I mean, we just met with some escape owners recently, and we basically talked about customer service for over an hour, and the importance of beginning before the room and the experience right after most of the time defines how they feel about the room. And a lot of enthusiasts agree that it can change a really bad room to be just an average experience at times.
It's not bad anymore. It was average.
Yeah, it was okay. It's better. We can live with it.
It's better than bad.
But on the flip side, I mean, Ruby and I, we've
That's
actually...
That's how I approach dating myself. I'm not bad. I'm average. I'm better than bad, right?
Better Sorry, than Mike. Bad, the Errol Ellinger story.
So we've been to a really great facility. It was one of probably our first 10 to 15 rooms. And it was probably one of the best experiences we had, but the customer service side of it was actually what ruined it for us. And we didn't actually go back to them for at least 6 months to a year before we gave them another shot. Because, yeah, it really ruined that experience for us.
Yeah, it didn't really matter whether the room was impressive, the atmosphere was great. All of that kind of went out the window as soon as the customer service side kicked in and we're kind of like, what just happened? Because it kind of leaves you with that afterthought if they're running after you like you stole something from their room, or like, you know, like you cheated your way through kind of thing. So I feel it's really important. And coming from a customer service background, I worked in many restaurants, I worked in bars. So that's a very important factor. And I think even with everyday experience, everyone goes through, you, even if you're going to the movies, per se, and then the person that's giving you your tickets was just kind of throwing it at you, that might kind of ruin your mood for the day, right, or for the night. So I think customer service comes into play on how your full experience of a game may turn out.
I know many people poo-poo the idea of going onto Groupon, and some people think it's great because it's great for marketing, but there are a lot of people a lot of people who use Groupon as a marketing technique, or if you're an owner and you want to use Groupon, some people don't realize is how much business you're going to get because of that Groupon, and you're not making much money from it. So you now have tons of customers all going through your rooms. You might be overwhelmed. Your staff might be overwhelmed by all these people, and you're not making a lot of money. And so your staff is going to be a little bit grumpy because there's a lot of people. And this is what happens. And I think the last place we went to that was a Groupon, it felt like that. The staff were quite happy when we left. It was like, oh, it's just another group coming in again, because I think they were pretty much overwhelmed. Now, it wasn't a great room to begin with. And so to have the staff be really kind of like, ugh, kind of like impatient with us because they had to deal with so many people. That didn't work well in favor for our opinion about them. I may have written a red report about it. I've only written 3 and they got 1. So they're lucky.
Special. Yeah. And going back to the business side of things with should reviewers get comps, I can see the owner's point of view, which is unlike theater where I get 1 ticket, which might be $25, which is free. Escape rooms have a group of 5 to 6 people per room, which is potentially, you know, $150 people might be losing out on for this review. So I can see, like, it is much more expensive to comp players from the owner's perspective.
I personally want to pay for my room, actually. For the most part, when I go to a room, I actually try not to say who I am. And sometimes we might tweet about it because we're excited. If they know that I review or that I design rooms, I will state usually up front that I will pay for the room. They sometimes will give us a discount, which is great, and I will take a discount. But for the most part, I will pay for the room.
It kind of is a safety net in a way, paying for the room, because it means that if you didn't like the room, you don't feel quite as guilty, you know, ranting about it afterwards, too.
It's true. I feel bad if somebody if somebody gives me a free room and I hate it. So I want to pay for it. And then I don't feel bad.
I mean, I totally agree. Especially the first time going into a facility, it's better if they don't know us. Because I find that, and I didn't learn this till a lot later on, that, you know, if they know who you are, of course, they're going to roll out the red carpet. They're going to bring out their best staff and treat you the best that they can. Yeah, exactly. So especially the first time going in, we want to make sure our experience is what everybody else is experiencing. But to be fair, that's not always how it's been with us. I mean,
they know who you are and they still kick you?
Or somebody announces, this guy's done 200 rooms!
Oh, yeah, but I sometimes do that after the room. You know, I do that.
No, never done it after.
Really?
They've always done, every time they ask the question, like,
have you done a room before?
Have people here done an escape room before? He's done 200! and then Mike.
Now, to be fair, I do that in good facilities. We were with a friend of ours, and he was brand new to escape rooms.
Oh,
it was Amanda and
right.
I, and we went to a facility, and I won't say the name that isn't known for being a good one. But we wanted to go to one because it was like we were passing it, and we thought, why not? Let's just go in for fun. We know it might suck, but we don't care. And then he, our friend, his name was Peter, was trying to say, hey, these guys have done a lot of rooms. We're going, no, don't say anything.
No, we didn't want them to know who we were.
I don't want them to know who we are because we may have written bad things about them. And we wanted them to still be friendly towards us because they were friendly towards us.
They were friendly towards us. So it was
great. And we were friendly towards them. We're not going to be mean to them even if their room wasn't that good.
Yeah, so our friend who knows of our escape room love looked really confused when they asked the question, like, have you done escape rooms before? And Errol and I, like, really were just like, yeah, a few, you know. He looked confused, like, are you really? Why are we suddenly, you know, downplaying this?
And then it was like, do you know if you're in our system? We're going, oh, I think Mike booked it. We wouldn't be in your system. Mike booked it. And Mike's a generic enough name. That could have been anybody as opposed to the famous escape games review.ca Mike.
Oh, boy.
So yeah, I think, I mean, the thing is, owners aren't obligated to give free rooms to reviewers, nor are reviewers entitled to free rooms. I know it's an expensive habit. It is an expensive habit. But my stance on it is personally, if owners decide to give a free room to some press, then don't expect a good review. That doesn't mean that you're going to get, like, the red carpet treatment of reviews. You still might see a bad review, and yes, that's upsetting, which actually would be a good segue into the next thing I want to talk about. As for reviewers, if you want to have free rooms, you still need to build up a reputation. This is still such a new medium. There's it's kind of like the Wild West right now in terms of how things are working and how people are figuring out their rules within the escape room world.
And I even know owners have told us that people are coming up to them saying, "Hey, we write a blog. Can you give us a free room?" You know, and if you're an owner and you hear that a billion times, after a while, you'd probably be a little bit suspicious and cynical towards that. And I would say that if you are a blogger and doing a lot of escape rooms, then maybe you should get to know the community, because there's a large community of escape room enthusiasts, and all we want to do is talk to you. I do, anyway, because I'm creepy.
And the best way for that is to connect to thecodex.ca and click on Secret Chat.
Wow.
Well, I don't want just anybody in there.
Too late.
You can go to the enthusiast group on Facebook. They'll accept anybody there.
We'll cut
all
that
the riffraff. Yeah, buying a WordPress site doesn't mean that you're a professional blogger. And
not that we're professional bloggers. Mike is.
No, I'm not a professional blogger. I mean, to be fair, I didn't get my first request to come in and do a room until about 4 to 6 months after. And
well, that's a good point, though.
Yeah.
It's that you kind of built up your reputation. You had a lot of content on your site. And at that point, when owners start to come to you, then maybe you can consider saying, okay, can you comp this room? Or just comp it for yourself. Don't include your party in there.
I think it's kind of like any sort of blogging reviews and people trying to get, I guess, better reviews per se. Like, for instance, beauty products. I know a lot of friends, I have friends of friends that review beauty products, like makeup, skincare, things like that. And a lot of those things may take time. Like skincare, you're not going to see something miraculously happen to your eyes the minute you put it on. So they might blog about it over a period of a month or so just to see the product worked or not. But to do that, you're not just going to start getting things for free or asking Sephora or any store, can I get this for free so I can write about it? They're just going to tell you to go away. So it's simple as that. In terms of building your credibility, that's really important because it shows that you're not biased towards anything. It's not because you like a particular company or you're friends with a particular owner and that's why you're giving them a better review. So it's important to have that kind of baseline of where you're judging and to get your name out there. And if at that point in time, owners or other groups wants you to do reviews or wants you to give feedback, then it's up to them if they decide to give you something for free or not. It's not for you to be entitled enough to say, hey, I'm well known enough to get this for free. Like, I just don't feel that that's fair.
True. And there are a couple of ways. When it comes to promotion and marketing, there are two ways you can do it. One is by spamming a lot of people. I'm not saying that's a bad way to do it. I'm just saying that's a very common way. You can throw it all out there and hopefully it will stick to a few people and they'll be interested in your product and then you'll get known that way. But another way, which is, takes a lot more work and a lot more effort, is by being part of a community. Mm-hmm. So being grassroots, starting from the ground up, and then people know you because they've seen you a bunch of times being part of the enthusiast group or talking about it, or they know that you just love escape rooms. So we know a lot of people that are part of the escape room enthusiast community just because we see them all the time talking about it, and not so much promoting their blog, but just saying how much they enjoy doing escape rooms. They write about it. Like the first escape room blogger is Essa, isn't it? From Intervirals, right? And so we all know who she is. And if you don't know who she is, then maybe you should know who she is.
Well, you should.
Do your homework.
Yeah, do your homework. She's the first one. She's the one in Australia that started blogging about this, and she writes all sorts of things. There are a lot of people that, for example, how many podcasts are there out there about escape rooms? So far, two. And then there are a few other podcasts that may do escape room episodes, but for the most part, right now, there's just two. There might be more later on. I'd like to listen to them, so if you know of any, by all means, send them to us. There's also, but, you know, there is the one, Really Fun UK, and The Logic Escape Me does a podcast as well.
I think it was you, Errol, that mentioned to me just one sentence that could sum it up is make friends, not contacts. Like,
mm-hmm. Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh.
Yeah, you're so wise. You don't That's even remember.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. So one of the things I did want to talk about, and it was sort of, could have been segued earlier, but we were having such a great discussion, was the idea of what a review needs to consist of. And not only how to give criticism, but how to take it as well. My theater degree isn't useful for a whole lot, but one of the things that it gave me that I have taken for granted up until now is how not only to take bad criticism, because that's really hard to do and it's still tough, but also how to read it and analyze it as well and figure out which criticism is useful and which one is bias and or based on personal preference. We've seen a couple of owners complain about the bad reviews they get after bloggers come in, and they're very offended by it, like personally offended. And I couldn't understand it at first. And then I realized that a lot of the people who come into escape rooms now, they're all from diverse backgrounds. There's engineers, there's even HR people who decide that they want to try their hand at running an escape room. And I realized not a lot of people, or that's changing now, but at first, not a lot of people from the creative world were heavily involved in the making of escape rooms. And so suddenly...
And when you're in the creative world, you sometimes get booed. I've been booed.
Yeah. you get used to your work being run through the mud every once in a while, or all the time, depending on what kind of an artist you are.
Yeah. Try putting stuff on YouTube and see how your self-esteem goes after that. I've got stuff on YouTube. Yeah.
And one of the comments that I saw go up on the enthusiast group, which made me laugh, was that this woman was appalled because this review went up on a review website or something, and she said, once a review is up there, it stays up there, and it's there for the public, and that's so bad for business, and reviewers aren't taking this into account, which made me laugh a lot.
Or maybe we are taking it into account.
Maybe we're warning people away from your rooms. Just because you get your room review doesn't mean it's going to be good. And so instead of blaming the reviewers, you know, now this isn't all owners, by the way. This is maybe a select few owners who, I don't even know them. I think I've just seen them go up on the enthusiast group every once in a while.
Probably the ones listening. Nice going. Her name is Manda Whitney.
But it's true. You have to learn how to take criticism, and it's hard because escape rooms are so expensive to make. So you've put in all of your money into this fancy technology, or you've put, you know, all of your efforts into this, it's your baby, and then suddenly somebody posts a bad review. In the worst case scenario, everybody looks at it and nobody goes to your room because they've read this review.
Now, for the record, we have created something that an escape room event that people have reviewed, and some people have reviewed it amazingly, other people didn't like it at all. And that's just how it is. You can't impress everyone. And that's just business, really.
It's just life. Not everyone likes everything. You can't make a product that will please every single person.
So the more reviewers are out there, the better, actually. Because when you read a review, and if you read something like, you know, I really hated the lasers in this room, and then you look back at this reviewer's other reviews, and he happened to hate the lasers in every other room too.
Sorry, I'm talking about me.
No, I'm not.
Mike, yeah, no. Lasers.
No, I just picked lasers.
But just picked Mike. You're picking on Mike now, Manda Whitney.
No, he's right here. He can hear my name.
Yeah. Where you live too.
What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah. So, lasers. Yeah. But if you read, like, all of his reviews all hate lasers, then you might be able to discern that, okay, that might just be his preference. He might just not like lasers. But that can also work to your advantage, because sometimes, for instance, I hate first-person shooter games for the most part. So when I find one that I like, I will always state that, like, you know, you always should state your biases, but I will state, like, I don't normally play first-person shooters, but I liked this one. So if the person who hates that stuff actually enjoyed themselves, then that must mean you have a pretty good room. Mm-hmm. But for reviewers, you know, it's also really important to understand how to break down a room and how to give criticism. And we are still figuring out how to best categorize mm-hmm. escape room reviews. Like, what do you focus on? Do you focus on just the experience of it? Do you break it down into its different components? Much like movies, there are different flavors of escape rooms. There are smaller ones with almost no technology, but which are still enjoyable. There are other ones which have, you know, huge amounts of technology and, like, are basically the AAA titles of escape rooms that, you know, you can't really compare the smaller ones to. So it's a, how do you review that? How do you, you know...
As a reviewer, a difficult thing is that I try to not put my diva-ness into the review sort of thing. So I don't really like searching. My daughter likes searching, and she does it well. And so if there's a lot of searching in the room, fine, let there be a lot of searching in the room, and I might mention that, but I'll try not to have that affect the review. Same sort of thing comes even with math. I know a lot of people don't like math, like Ruby.
I hate math.
More on that later.
More on that later. We will get to that.
But, you know, I'll say there's, you know, there might be some math required, or I won't say that, but I probably won't mention that in the review, and I won't have that affect the review. Even when it comes to technical difficulties, I won't state that in a review. So if something broke and I can see it was a one-time thing, then I won't say it, you know, in my review.
The entire room, however, was just one technical error after another. Yes. What about
I will
that?
Probably state if it's frustrating, if a room has just tons of frustrating things in there. And normally when I critique puzzles in a room, it'll be ones that we have solved. And I'll be able to state, look, this will be hard for a non-enthusiast person because of such and such. Because usually our mistakes will be not finding things or just being stupid. There have been many, many rooms I've been really stupid in, and that's my fault, and I won't say that's a bad thing.
And that's another important point. As a reviewer, you have to be aware of when you don't solve something because of your own neglect or obliviousness, or you don't solve something because the puzzle is actually a bit broken. And that can be hard to do. It's easier for Arrow because he's a puzzle designer, and so he can break that down.
Or I could just say, this puzzle's stupid.
Please don't say that in a review. That was one of my other points, is that when you're reviewing, you always need to back up why you didn't like a room. If you didn't like it, you really have to think about why didn't I like it? Why didn't this puzzle work? You can't just say, that sucked, or that was stupid, don't go. That's for TripAdvisor. Now I'm bashing TripAdvisor. You know, it's really important to be able to look at something critically rather than just give it the gloss over.
Yeah. And sometimes it's not the room's fault. Sometimes it's the people you're with.
Sometimes it's the people you're with.
Maybe they take off their shoes.
My rule of thumb when doing a really bad review, or sorry, after doing a really bad room, is to really give it a few days, think about it objectively, talk with your team, and maybe even talk with the owners about why things happen a certain way. And then do the review. Because if you're just writing emotionally, as you guys are saying, then it just becomes one big rant. And that's
fun for me.
No, and you can write emotionally and critically at the same time. That's the thing. But that's a good idea, Mike. Like, just taking a day or so to let it sink in.
Well, I think that's the difference between being a reviewer and just being, you know, the public, the general audience. That's why on, like, Yelp or TripAdvisor, the general audience would write how they felt right after the experience. The right after moment, it's like, this sucked or this was great. And they're not overly analytical about what it was. It's just, I had a great time, or no, I did not have a great time. Whereas as a reviewer, like Amanda and Mike said, we have to think about, okay, what was it that made it great, or what was it that made it bad?
And there's even been moments where I've finished a good room where I just went out of there feeling great, and then I would think about it and think, like, was it great, or was that one part of it great, and the rest of it kind of
the meh. Part that you solved.
Yeah, the part that I solved was amazing. The rest of it was okay.
We have solved rooms where we did leave and thought, oh, good, it's over.
Yes, yes, and just because you solve a room doesn't necessarily mean it was a satisfying experience, too. The big, big thing about reviewing, though, and it's across all mediums, not just escape rooms, is that you always should state your biases before you do the review, or in your review. If you are not inclined to certain types of puzzles, that's a good thing to mention. Even if you were in a bad mood that day, that's a good thing to mention. Like,
or the people you're with,
for or the matter. People you're with, that can affect your review as well.
For me, for example, I like clever puzzle design, and if it's not, then I would probably not like the room.
Same with me. I'm in.
Man
I love
Pans
immersion.
Likes immersion.
Immersion in storyline. So when
if you don't have topless men pictured. You'll hate your room.
Thanks, Errol.
You're welcome.
Oh. I was about to swear on her. Now PG-rated podcast because you're talking about topless men.
Oh,
anyway.
You like it.
Okay. But yeah, I like immersion in storyline, so I will often be more critical of that, especially if a room claims to have an amazing story, I will immediately get much more critical of it. But I'll have to state, like, this is where I'm coming from. I love analyzing stories, so if you have one, that's what I'm going to hook onto.
And then, if it has Hugh Jackman.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry, Errol's teasing, but yeah, if you had Hugh Jackman in your room, I'd be like, 110%. Yeah. With his Australian accent.
I come from a technical background, so when we started blogging, actually, I was the guy who's in the room looking at all the wires and all the mag locks and all the interesting little tech bits that they could add. Over time, I mean, that changed, but yeah, I'm pretty picky about that.
What are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
Stating our biases.
Our biases.
Yeah, so I'm aggressively picky about those kind of things, especially when things don't work.
And the more well-known as a reviewer you become, the more your audience will recognize, you know, what type of a person you are and what your biases are. So they'll...
Like lasers in Egypt. What the hell?
Really, really specific bias, but yeah. That's one of mine.
We know now that Mike doesn't like books.
And lasers.
And lasers.
Oh boy.
In weird places.
Yeah.
What?
Oh dear.
PG, guys. PG.
Let's get a PG-13, shall we? Anyway.
I think now that I've done a lot of rooms, I'm less annoyed by things. Mike really wants to see me angry in a room, but now there are less chances for me to be angry in a room now because I just have fun with the people I'm with.
Another bias, which is actually, this is something that I only learned of recently, is that if you do get a comped room, somewhere on the review or on your site, you do have to state that, mm-hmm. that you were comped, because it can affect your review.
Yes.
And I know I have a huge guilt complex. Like, you know, if someone gives me a free room and we're super nice and the room just sucked, I'll still be critical, but I'm, you know, there's a chance I might hold back a bit. I won't be nice about it. I won't say, like, it was awesome, but I might not be as acidic as I could be.
I probably just won't review it.
That's it.
Just easier that way. But even if you think that having a comp room won't affect your bias, and, you know, for some people that might not. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody like that, but it might not. You know, you should still say that it was comped.
Because mm-hmm. that's, you know, that's something for your audience to interpret as well. Because then if you were comped and you gave it an awful, we'd be like, wow, it must be really awful.
And if you don't know what comp means, that means it was paid free. For by the room. It was free.
Yeah. So, yeah. When reviewing, it's really... When reviewing and when reading reviews, it's really important to be able to learn to analyze the criticism as well. Like, if 10 reviewers are saying the same thing about your room, there might be something to it. For instance, if one person out of 10 hated your room, then that might just be they had a bad day, right?
For example, we were critiqued with Canadian Capers Night at the Wedding that they didn't like talking to people.
They didn't like interaction.
They didn't like interaction. And that's a valid point. Our room was all about talking to actors and people. But at the same sort of time, that was our goal and that was our purpose.
And we knew that would happen.
And we knew that would happen with some people. So that is something we took into consideration. But that was a different path we chose from the get-go.
Actually, that's an important thing for reviewers.
And so that's not a bad review. Sorry. That's just something that they didn't like. And we recognize that fact.
It's a subjective preference for certain people.
Yeah. And it's an important thing for reviewers to ask owners maybe when they go is, who's your audience? You always ask it, Errol. Who
well, that's
are
more
you?
So for my band, because my audience was like, you know,
or,
five
sorry,
people.
But who... But who are your customers? Who are you aiming to draw in? If you are aiming to draw in newbies, then this room won't be good. If you are aiming to draw in, like, experts, then yeah, for sure.
And this room might not be good for experts, sort of thing. We always ask, when people ask us which room to do, I always ask them where they are, how many people, what rooms have you done? Because I want to know these things so I can give them the best experience for the people that they're going with.
Yeah, one of the worst things I did was after I'd done only about 10 escape rooms, my friends asked me for a recommendation for an escape room. And at that point, we had played Om Escape, and I was like, do Om Escape! Not really realizing yet that that was probably the worst room to recommend for newbies. And so they went in, they lost, they didn't even get like a quarter of the way through the room. They're like, how come you said that was the best one? It is! For experts. Maybe not for you, right?
And it's a good room. It's just that... And a lot of people will still have fun even though they didn't get as far. However, it's still crazy hard. You might only see half of it.
Yeah.
And that's... And I usually want people to... Yeah. Wait, have a few rooms under the belt before doing Om Escape.
There are a couple of rooms at Om Escape which newbies would do well at. It's just this group happened to pick, like, I think it was like Penitentiary or something like that. So, and that was their first escape room ever. Yeah. So it was
even Dark Altar, that'd probably just destroy their soul.
Yeah.
Just the first room alone. It's like, oh,
whereas if they did
happening.
Kingdom of Cats or something, that might be a little bit easier,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, tips. If you want to start a review site, a blogging site, listen to Mike. Go, Mike. You have one.
Wow, you just threw him down the well, didn't you?
In Toronto, he was the second blogger to start doing blogs and reviewing.
On Escape Games.
On Escape Games.
And rooms. Cut.
No.
You'll be fine. You'll be awesome. Go, Mike.
I don't know.
We are here to listen to your wisdom. Edit your reviews. That's one.
Yes.
Make sure that it sounds professional sounding.
Yep.
Kind of look at all angles and not just what you necessarily like or don't like in terms of aspects of the room. So taking into account what Amanda said about bias, because that makes a huge difference.
And ask your team as well. Ask them what their experience was for it. They can provide insight, because you also won't get to play all of the puzzles either. So they might have had an entirely different experience from you. So it's important to get their perspective on it.
And to tie up all those in a nice little bow, take your time to do your reviews. So make sure that you review everything. Your team, the people, the puzzles, everything.
But if that's the case, make sure you have notes down right after the evening, just in case there's something that you might forget, like, what was puzzle number 3? How did we get out of that part?
Because one thing you might not realize, puzzles you solve really quickly or by luck might actually be something really difficult for someone else, but you may have just solved it really quickly.
Like brooding a lock, for
like
instance.
A lock. Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't even locked for some strange reason. That has happened in the room as well. Because we tend to forget about the puzzles we solve quickly.
Yes.
Another factor is if an owner can't explain to me why a puzzle was solved the way it was, or explain to me beyond, like, it makes sense, doesn't it? Then I...
one of those.
Yeah. I had one of those the other day, and it was pissed me off.
A good question Scott Nicholson always asks about a puzzle in a room is, why is it there?
You know,
if you can't answer why a certain puzzle is there and how it helped to contribute to a room, then that's something to think about.
A last point I'll bring up is...
Why? You don't want us talking anymore?
Yeah, no, it's done.
Why is it last?
Last in this...
I have other things to say.
In this segment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, never mind then.
She's trying to, like, control us.
Yeah.
Amanda Whitney.
Oh, shut up. I would, like, say your name, but everybody knows who you are and where to find you because you're everywhere on the internet. Anyway. One other thing I'll say is if you do a bad review of a room, and by bad I mean like negative review of a room, and an owner reaches out to you saying, no, the room's improved since then, feel free to go back and do an edit on the top of your bad review saying, I've been there since, they have improved the room, because that does make a difference when people go to find your page. Because what if the room has improved since then? Same with owners. Mm-hmm. If you see a bad review and you really work to improve your room, feel free to invite those reviewers back.
I used to like to have a play date on a room when I played it, because for readers to realize when in my escape room history did I do this room. Because my thoughts of a room a long time ago, when I didn't experience any kind of room, is different now because I've done a lot of them.
Same with, you know, if you're given permission to review a beta, say it's a beta, because so much can change between, say, the first, especially the first beta test, or even the fifth beta test, and when they launch.
And even a room now. I mean, escape rooms normally iterate the rooms to make it better and better. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I would hope an escape room now might be better than when it first opened, because they've had the chance for many people to go through it and to make it better.
Even during our wedding event, actually, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen until you get the players running through there and finding all of the loopholes, you know, in your puzzle design or in your storyline.
I had no loopholes. I expected everything.
There were a couple of things that we had to adjust on the fly because...
Like what?
I can't, that's spoilers, but I know one specific thing, from the wedding at least, that we had to adjust on the fly because we realized that players weren't going in the path that we had expected them to.
That wasn't my fault. They just went that way,
and okay.
I told these guys...
Yes, you are the god of puzzles. Look him up, Errol Elmer.
Thecodex.ca,
he shines
click
with his
on
own
secret
ego.
Chat.
Oh, dear. Another thing, too, is that you will have a different opinion than another reviewer, and that's okay, because we all like different things. And there's nothing wrong with that. So if my opinion of a room is different than Mike's opinion of a room, we can still be friends, because he doesn't like lasers and books. And I don't mind lasers. I hate books, though, especially if I have to look through them.
You do.
I do. That's
oh,
why
my
I
just, God.
I need to make Amanda look through them.
Yeah.
I also get her to do the math.
Yeah. Hands be the Sharpie. Like, here you go.
I actually don't like anything where I have to think longer than 5 minutes to complete. What do I like in rooms?
You like chairs?
No, I still want a train. If you could put me on a train
that
and
would
you
be
can
awesome.
Hear the tracks, dun, 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 and then if it shakes back and forth like a train,
what if we just
and then
had...
there are people on there, like the conductor, and then you had to like solve a mystery, and then you had to jump from train to train.
What if we just had a train trip? That just like was an escape room. What if we just rented a train?
You did post that you can rent a subway or a streetcar.
Yeah,
now.
I did.
That'd be kind of cool.
The TTC has decided to use their like 1950s streetcars for a particular line, and so I thought. And then they said you can rent it as well. I'm like, oh
that'd
man,
be cool. Yes. This, you know, a puzzle event on a streetcar. I want to do that.
Hint, hint, escape room owners in Toronto.
If you do it, we will come.
I might design it for you for free. I think it's cool. Sorry, that's on air though. Maybe not. Okay, I'll retract that.
Going back on topic. Also, very important note, because I've seen this posted on the enthusiast group a lot. There is no such thing as an unbiased review. It is something we can definitely strive for, but it's not something that is ever going to be achieved.
You're like pointing out all sorts of people on the enthusiast group.
No.
Amanda Whitney.
Shut up! But it's...
Who says that they don't have biased reviews?
No. That's the need. They're like, you can't have a review that's biased. I'm like, you can't really have a review that's unbiased because we're humans.
All reviews are biased.
All reviews are biased. So long as you state that bias, then you're pretty safe.
Heck, by the fact that we've done over 100 rooms, we're biased. Because the very first room, we sort of loved. Some of us completely loved it.
Yeah.
And we love everything about an escape room. And it's amazing.
Ooh.
We're just giving Amanda more
My
alcohol.
My tongue is getting looser as this thing goes on.
I know. That's what's happening. Yeah, now you're going to start pinpointing people. And this guy, I think, is really cute.
No, but I've seen it brought up in a couple of things, that's all. Shut up.
Just message me on Facebook.
It is how I sound.
In this part of the podcast, we normally have a rant. Actually, no, we don't have a part for the podcast. I just seem to interject it anywhere I can. However, it's not by me this time. The rant is going to come from your friend, Amanda Whitney.
Mentioning my name again, are we? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so earlier...
She's on Tinder.
Shut up! Well, earlier we were mentioning pet peeves that we have and biases. One of my most hated things in escape rooms is assumed knowledge.
Oh. I don't even know if that's a bias. Nobody likes assumed
knowledge. Nobody likes assumed knowledge, but the definition
Nor
of
red
assumed
herrings.
Knowledge
red
is
herrings
always
suck.
Fluctuating. So I was back in Sarnia, in my hometown, and I found out, back at Thanksgiving, I found out that there was an escape room that had opened there. And I thought, hey, why not go with my family? Because they haven't done an escape room yet. Well, that's a lie my brother had in Ottawa, but...
She's drinking right now.
Shut up!
This is gonna get good.
You wanna... Shut up. I feel bad ranting about this, though, because, you know, Sarnia's not a small town, but people know people, and now I know who this woman is who owns the thing.
No.
It's like a friend of a cousin of a friend kind of thing.
But that's just Sarnia in general.
Shut
not
up!
Like dating her husband or something, or like cousin.
Oh.
Yeah. You're the worst. You grew up in, like, Estevan.
No, I know. That's why I can say these things.
So we go to this escape room, and it's me, my brother, my sister, and my brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law actually was the most reluctant to go to this escape room because, you know, I was like, it could be fun. I actually didn't have that high of hopes for it. I figured it would be a lower budget thing. That's fine. I've seen lower budget rooms that are still quite enjoyable. This was single-handedly the worst, not only the worst assumed knowledge I've ever seen, just one of the worst escape rooms that I've ever seen. I was angry. So we go into this place. The woman is very nice. There's a bakery out front, too. It's great. And we chose what was known as the most difficult room in the place, which was their pirate room.
Arr.
So we go into this pirate room. It is an 8x8 room, not big. There is it still has the Berber carpet from the office that had been there previously. One of the walls had a cool cave-like, you know, texture to it, which was neat. None of the other walls did. It was painted white, you know, because caves. The fluorescent lights were on. There was no atmospheric lighting or music of any sort. And the room was decorated in dollar store items.
And remember that Amanda's the one who's picky about immersion, so...
So four of us are crammed into this 8x8 room. We start searching. There are exactly 3 puzzles in this entire room. Sorry, 4 puzzles in the entire room. 2 of which involve searching. That was the puzzle. The other 2 involved a cipher. Figuring out what the cipher wasn't necessarily the difficult part, although it was challenging. Doing the translation of the cipher, in which you had to end up adding 27 double-digit numbers together in your head, that was where my anger began. And then we got towards, like, and you could see the frustration rising in the room, and you could see, like, my brother-in-law being like, why did I marry into this family? And that's a lie. He's awesome. But... And so we were, the other puzzle revolved around finding these little gems that had numbers on them. And they weren't just gems, there was like a gold coin. I don't even care about spoiling this. I just realized I'm spoiling this left, right, and center. we find the gems, we lay them all out, and then we find this piece of paper that's like, has a list on it. And that list, obviously, that list will show us which gems are important and which numbers, therefore, are important to help us get out of the room. This took us, by the way, the full hour to find all these stupid things and to, you know, add up all these stupid numbers. And this is four puzzles, people. Four puzzles in an 8x8 room. Anyway, so we finally think we find everything. We had to call in a hint to get the last thing. And then we look at this list, and so the clues on this list is, like I said, the worst assumed knowledge I've had, because all of them were trivia things. So it's like, okay, the first gem you need is in a rank, and the clue was in a ranking of, oh crap, I forget the number, like something like 175, this ranks, or sorry, 150, this ranks 75. And my brother guessed that it was the periodic table, but we were all like, do you know what the 75th element is in the periodic table? No. Is it anywhere in the room that could give this clue? No. Okay, let's just move on to the next clue. The next clue was like, what do you get on your 45th wedding anniversary? You know how every anniversary has a
gold paper,
silver. And we were like, does anybody know? No. And so we had used up all of our hints. We used like one hint, our last hint on like one of the clues, and then we were like, well, we're stuck. And so we did that. We sat down in the room and just waited for the timer to go out. And we were so pissed off. And then the woman comes in, and I'm already like, this is crap, right? And like, it was one of the cheaper rooms. It was like $17, I think, to go there. And I was like, this is way too much for whatever. Sorry, is it?
No, I was worried I didn't press record.
Okay.
That
would have been okay, that's okay. So a woman comes in, and I do what I normally do, which was like, you know, like I'm being as nice as I can about it. I'm like sweating up a storm too, because it's an 8x8 room, and we're all like, you know, humans.
You're sweaty and angry.
Sweaty, angry Amanda went up to this woman and was just like, so what was the answer to the puzzle? And then she said, well, it's all Googleable. And I was like, yeah, but we're not allowed phones in the room. And she said, no, you can go home, Google the answers, and then come back and play the room again. And if you get it this time, then I give you a free room. And I think my sister, I almost had to hold my sister back. She was like, what kind of scam is this? I was like, are you kidding me? You made this room impossible to solve. This is the biggest money grab ever. I can't believe this. She's like, you get a free room. I'm like, that's not free. You still have to pay for the crappy room that we just did. And I left there with a very bitter taste in my mouth. My brother-in-law swore never to do an escape room again.
Aww.
And then he came to our event, and he actually changed his mind about it, which was good. But I was worried when he was coming to our event.
Mind you, it might have helped that, you know, half his family was helping out at our escape
room. Oh, yeah. What he enjoyed about Night at the Wedding was that my brother was one of the security guards, and so he went up and bothered him, much like you do, like, the British guards and
trying
stuff.
To make yeah. That's yeah. fun. Yeah. Trying to make the actors crack. Is yeah. a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, yeah. So he really enjoyed that part. But, yeah, I, like, ever since, that's been, I no assumed knowledge has ever been as bad as that. I've seen moments of it where there might be one piece of trivia that nobody would ever know, but it's like, that one was a list of it. 10 things we had to know, and it was, duh!
I want to do their other room just so I could write a red report.
Oh my god. It's like, you could do. And that was their most difficult room. Like, I don't want to know what your easy rooms are. There was like a circus themed one, I think. And it was worse too, because her kids were sitting outside when we left.
Oh no.
And well, their kids were teenagers, and they were glaring at us because it was very clear that I was upset. Aww. And you know, it's like, how dare you like criticize our mom's great work. And I'm like, no, your mom's work is crap. She seems like a very nice lady, but she needs somebody in here.
Everybody's special, Amanda.
Everybody's special, but
don't
not in every way.
Crush their soul.
Anyway, I hope it's improved. Child. I genuinely hope it improves, but I really doubt it, because there's no other competition in town. So that makes me sad, too, because that's Sarnia's only point of reference now for escape rooms, unless they go to London, which some of them do, so... Yeah.
I think more importantly, how were the baked goods?
They were amazing, actually. There were free samples, and I tried some shortbread, and I was like, oh, and it got me in a good mood for the room. It lasted me about 20 minutes into the room, you know, the good feelings from shortbread. It's like, this room's crap, but at least I can still taste the shortbread, you know. Then that ran out, and then I was just nothing but bitterness. So.
Should have grabbed some more on your way out.
Should have, yeah.
Anyway, we talked a long time, so we had a lot more topics to talk about, but this took up our time, and that's great. Now we have more things to talk about on our next podcast. Before we let you go, you guys may have noticed that we are hosted on InverseGenius.com now. There are a whole host of other podcasts on Inverse Genius dealing with board game topics, RPGs, all sorts of geeky topics like that. So if you're interested in that, you should go check them out. And the cool thing is, the thing about SoundCloud, I mean, there are a lot of podcasts on SoundCloud, but it was really difficult for people to find the RSS feed. I think we had to, like, give that to people. RSS. I can't pronounce things. It's ethnic. Anyway. And it was hard to find, and people would ask me for it. But now, on that website, you can happily find the RSS feed. We have, I can't say that very well.
RSS feed.
And it's inversegenius.com/room-escape-divas.
Yes, right. That's right.
I had to think. I had to think. Yeah. Yes.
We also have submitted our podcast to iTunes.
Yes, so you shall be able to get it on iTunes. I was finally able to give that stupid logo, and like they want it in 1,500 pixels. Good grief. 1,500 by 1,500. Why would they need it so large? Are they going to like cast it onto a movie screen?
We want them to approve it still, so you should be nice to iTunes.
Yeah. So hopefully soon you'll be able to see us on iTunes and download it straight from there. Exciting. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. You can check us out on that website that I just said, and we are also on Facebook, Room Escape Divas, and you can even email us at roomescapedivas@gmail.com. And we have a hashtag. I don't know if anybody uses it.
REDivas.
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 Next week, we are going to talk about all sorts of fun things, like
stupid things we do.
Yes, stupid things we've done in rooms. I've done a lot of them. I think I win for how many stupid things I've done in a room. So that will be an exciting one.
If you have any suggestions about what you would like us to talk about, please.
If you have any suggestions for a song to sing,
by all means, let us know at the email that we mentioned earlier.
And we're going to close off every show by saying, go, Manda.
Bye-bye.
No. Room escape, room inverse, genius.
Just do the normal tag?
Yeah, okay. The normal tag.
Okay. Room Escape Divas is hosted by Inverse Genius. You can find it at inversegenius.com, along with all sorts of other exciting geeky media, such as podcasts like this one.
Ta-da! That was great, man pans.
why is he doing this? I don't have the script in front of me.
Yeah, I don't know
what to do. I did like 20 takes of that when I first
I know.
Did it.
So now you're the one that have memorized it, and you can do it every single time. Aww. That's awesome. I mean, if we were smart, we would just use a pre-recorded one.
Oh, I saved the pre-recorded one that I had.
No, that was perfect.
Okay.
All of this is great. Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.